Jaguars struggled to get anything done offensively, ruining a solid early defensive performance, and the Jags fell to a record of 1-10, a 23-3 loss to Indianapolis Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium. And welcome to Inside the Jaguars, JP Shadrick with Jeff Lagerman. Let's get right to the issues on offense. Tried to run the ball and establish that because of what New England did last week, I'm sure, and how the Jags have been running. Couldn't run the ball. And then couldn't throw the ball later down the field.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating, and probably the most frustrating thing for me was in the first half when the defense, as you talked about, was playing so well. They had the ball two times on the plus side of the field, and the plus side is on the Colts side of the 50. Once at the 46, and then you throw the interception, so you get no points. The other, you get the ball at the 12-yard line, but you only end up with a field goal. And then if you want to go into the second half, we go to the second half.
We'll go for it.
Okay, second and half, you got first and goal at the one. First and goal at the one. And you end up going out on downs. You actually went backwards. That's disappointing to me. At some point, this offense has to find a level of production to where it's effective.
3-3 and outs to start the second half as well, while Indy scored their first three drives of the second half. On defense, though, well, the Colts fumbled six times. Jags recovered three of those. There were five sacks in the game, three of those from Clemens in the first quarter. I mean, this is a defensive performance that we've seen this year, and they're keeping the Jags in the game.
Well, and what was most impressive is that going into that game, Andrew Luck is not a quarterback that gets sacked a lot. He was sacked 15 times total in the previous games, and all of a sudden in the first half, it's five sacks, and it's the Chris Clemens show. But also, they were causing fumbles with those sacks. I mean, that to me was the most important thing. So you would think that the offense would get more production out of that, but it didn't happen. But in the second half, you could tell that the Jaguars' defense lost a little bit of their wind in the sails, so to speak. Because sooner or later, as a defense, you want to have some kind of reward offensively.
Special teams concerns continue. A deflected field goal, it was good. But a couple of coverage concerns, too. A long kickoff return to open the game for Cribs, and then a punt return for a touchdown was negated by a penalty early in that play. This has been a topic all year.
Well, let's start with the Josh Gobe thing. That was essentially an extra point. You have to elevate the kick to where there is no chance that it gets blocked. Now the returns. Josh Cribs was on the street. You got to give him credit now. He's got a track record now.
Yes, he does.
He's got a lot of kick return touchdowns, an effective player. But that has to be better.
You know, in the post-game radio last night, there were plenty of phone calls about play calling. Shocking, I know, Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
Senior
sure.
correspondent Brian Sexton has more.
The play calling wasn't very good in Indianapolis on Sunday. How do I know? Well, I didn't chart the game. I'll leave that to Jeff. I know because the offense was a disaster. They struggled to move the ball in the first half, but at least had 104 yards. But by the time the third quarter was complete, the total was 98. I get the complaint, losing 2 yards on first and 10, then running again on second and 12, a screen pass to the tight end, coming off your 20-yard line. But my philosophy is a good play is one that works, a bad play doesn't. The play doesn't matter if the line blocks and the receivers get open. It works if Bortles throws the ball over Vontae Davis to Mercedes, and it works when the back hits the hole instead of dancing around it. They threw it on first and goal at the one and got nothing. They ran it on second and goal and lost two. That's not just play calling, that's execution. Yes, there were some plays that shouldn't have been called, but there were more missed assignments than bad plays. This team is either too young or not talented enough on offense to expect explosiveness. In my opinion, that's the real problem.
Okay, Jeff, I'm putting you on the spot. Anything to the play calling?
Well, I think play calls, like Brian said, that work are good. But here's the issue. Jed Fish has an inconsistent offense because of so many young players. You get, you know, areas that just are sporadic in play. And I think as a play caller, it's very difficult when you have sporadic play. You have to have consistent play because as an offensive coordinator, you want to be able to lean on something. Right now, Jed Fish doesn't have anything to lean on.
Jaguars all access tonight. Who you got, Jeff?
Well, you know, the Virginia Cavaliers had a big win this past weekend against the Miami Hurricanes. So we're going to have the Virginia alum, Luke Bowenko, the center.
All wahoo all night.
Well, I'm sure there will be a little conversation about the famed University of Virginia.
I'm sure there will. That's tonight at 7 on Channel 4. Sam Kavoris and this guy and Luke Bowenko coming up. Gus Bradley scheduled at 2 o'clock today. Locker room open as well. All that later. And that's it for today on Inside the Jaguars.